Lord, he's good.
Yes.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Yes.
And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hosts and dominions, all powers and positions in your name.
Holy, 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 holy Jesus. Father, we're standing on your name this morning. How faithful you are, how loving you are, how we need you in this place, Father. We stand on your name, Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
You are the same, God. You are the same. Tell us. You touch the lepers. I feel your touch right now. You are the same, God. You are the same.
Sing it out. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. And you hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible.
Lift up a praise to the Lord right now, our healer, our provider, our portion today, our light, our strength, our water, our living bread. We love you, Lord. We thank you today. Thank you for your presence, your provision, oh God, in our lives. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. We praise your mighty name forever. Mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty is the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just take a moment right now to meditate upon the greatness of our God, His promises, His faithfulness today. Bless him today from your heart. Thank him for his many provisions, his wonderful grace. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much. Thank you for your day-by-day faithfulness to us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Someone have a word stirring in your spirit today to speak out. Speak out loud to us today. Yes. Let's thank the Lord for his continual flow of goodness into our lives, can we? Today, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness day after day after day after day after day. We praise you today, Lord. We recognize, Lord, this goodness and grace that flows is a result of the price that you paid, Lord Jesus, at Calvary. When you laid down your very life and shed your blood, Jesus, you paid for your covenant with us, with your own life. And as we receive your grace in faith, Lord, we thank you that so much, all that we need flows into our lives from you. We cling to you. We lean upon you. Everything we need flows from you, Lord. All our fountains are in you. We thank you so much for that today, Lord. As we prepare our hearts this morning to receive Holy Communion together, I want to invite those who are serving to come at this time, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Your love endures forever, O Lord. As you receive the elements of communion today, please hold them until everyone has been served, and we'll eat and drink together in just a few moments today. We'll stand again in a little bit, but for now you may be seated as we continue to worship the Lord together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace. We sing about it today, but words cannot really express the depth of our gratitude, our love, our devotion to you, for changing our lives here and forever, for giving us the promise of an eternal life, an eternal destiny. Thank you, Lord, for washing our sins away, for bringing us into the righteousness of God, depositing the righteousness of God into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the many benefits and blessings that come to us through the cross and by way of the sacrifice and the atonement of Jesus Christ. We love you today, Lord. From the bottom of our hearts, with our whole hearts, we love you, Lord, and we thank you. As we eat and drink together this morning, we pray that you would continue to work in our hearts by your supernatural power. We trust you, Lord, and we declare this morning in faith that nothing is too hard for God. We declare that. We thank you for it. We believe you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet. Been a week of homegoing for several of our family members and friends. Last Sunday morning, Brother Rich Lillard was gone from us as his younger brother passed into the presence of the Lord last Sunday, and their family is going to be celebrating his life together this coming Saturday in Arnold, Missouri. Rich, we love you, and we pray the Lord would comfort you. And Rich, most of you know Rich is a psychologist here in town. He's a counselor. But Rich, who counsels the counselors? The Lord does. And he is your comforter and your counselor today. We pray the Lord would strengthen you. We're also lifting up the family of Alice Walker. Jackie Kaplan and her mother Alice are longtime members of our church, somewhat removed from us. They've lived in St. Louis for several years, but have remained in contact with us on a regular basis. And Alice passed away this week at 102 years old. We'll be celebrating her life together here in the sanctuary tomorrow with the visitation at 9 o'clock, the funeral service at 11 o'clock, services for Alice Walker. Our prayers are with the family of Joyce Terry as well. That's Chad Marsh's mother. She became a member of our church, a part of our church family, in the latter days of her life, and gave her heart to the Lord. And her funeral service will be held tomorrow, 3 o'clock visitation, 4 o'clock funeral service at Hauser Millard Funeral Home. Pastor Peter will be officiating that service tomorrow. We also want to continue to lift up Steve and Gloria Haslag, who are here on the front row. Part the waters there, Rich and Doug. And Steve and Gloria are here. Yesterday, they celebrated the life of Steve's mother, Hildegard Haslag. Doesn't that sound German as German chocolate cake? Yes. And Hildegard was a precious lady. She passed away this week at 105 years old and was a strong woman of faith. And Steve and Gloria, we love you. We're praying the Lord would continue to comfort you and strengthen you as well and supply everything you need. And He will. He will. And most of all, we're grateful for the promise of heaven for all of these believers. Could you say amen? All of these that we have referred to today and have lifted up in prayer, they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, some coming in the latter season of their life. But oh, aren't you glad for that amazing grace of God? We're so thankful for that. And the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Father, we pray for the continued comfort of the Holy Spirit for all of these who said goodbye to loved ones. We pray that you would be close. Close is the mention of your name, Lord. May the peace that passes understanding prevail in the hearts and lives of your people. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength. We praise you, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. I told you we'd stand again in a moment. Stand for about 30 seconds to reach out and greet your neighbors, please, and welcome everybody to church today. God bless you. Well, great job today. Good, good, good. Hi, Ollie. Morning. Morning, everybody. We want to welcome everybody this morning. If you're here for the first time visiting, we say a special word of welcome to you and invite you to stop by our welcome center out in the lobby. We have a little gift to provide to you, and we would love to meet you out there at the welcome center this morning. Welcome to everybody who is watching online this morning as well. Thank you for joining us today. We want to remind everybody of our upcoming spring revival coming up in just a couple weeks, two or three weeks here with Dr. Gary Denbow. How many of you were here for the last revival Dr. Denbow preached for us about a year and a half ago? What a powerful time together that was. And we are very excited to welcome Dr. Denbow back to preach for us for a Sunday morning through Wednesday night series of revival meetings. And we invite you to make plans now to attend. Do we have Jeff Davidson? Are you the newest board member making announcements today? I expected to invite Katie Ashcroft or Rhonda LePage, who are board members at River Oak Christian Academy, but the newest board member there, I didn't know it had taken effect yet, is Brother Jeff Davidson. Come on, Jeff, and some news to share about River Oak. Let's see, come on, where is the microphone, everybody? There we go. Thank you, Jeff. Bill?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go.
As Pastor mentioned, I'm the newest member of the board, and I think they're picking on me this morning. I'm making me come up here in front of you all. Thank you for your time this morning, and good morning, church family. Wanted to give you some quick updates about what we're up to at River Oak, specifically an event that we've got coming up this Friday. This Friday evening, we'll be hosting a night to unite at Miller Performing Arts Center. That evening will feature entertainment by Ted Cunningham, a comedian, writer, author, and pastor. Doors will open at 5 p.m., and tickets for that event are $40 per person. My fellow school board members, Rhonda LePage and Katie Ashcroft, We'll be in the lobby between services, and we'll have tickets available. We look forward to hosting you at that event. But if you're not able to make it on short notice on a Friday night, we certainly would accept any donations to the school that you would feel led to give. Katie and Rhonda will be ready to receive them. So I know that River Oak touches a lot of families here. If we've got representatives, if you've got a kid, a grandchild, a nephew, or a niece at River Oak, or was at River Oak, could you show a raise of hands? The Lord is doing mighty things at River Oak and is impacting families across our community for God, and we're so excited about what's going on, and we thank you in advance for your giving, your faithfulness, and giving to the school. Thank you so much.
Just go ahead and receive the tithes and offerings.
Pass the plate around right now.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right. Let's stand together, please, this morning. Thank you, Jeff. And we want to say a big thank you to all of you for your faithfulness in tithing and giving to the work of the Lord here at First Assembly. We continue to marvel at the faithfulness of the Lord and the faithfulness of God's people. And that means God is being faithful to you and to us. And so we're thankful for that this morning, and we appreciate that so much. I want to say a quick word of congratulations to all of the teenagers, several teenagers who participated at the District Fine Arts Festival yesterday, some of whom are headed toward the national competition this year in Columbus, Ohio. Doesn't that sound like a great vacation destination? They're usually headed to Orlando or something like that. We'll have to investigate what there is to do in Columbus, Ohio. How many of you know there probably are plenty of negative things to do in Columbus, Ohio, but we'll look for the good things. Who are the students who were in fine arts yesterday in Springfield? Where are they? Where are they? Are they here? Lift your hand if you're here. Are there just two of them here this morning? Who are they? The Cheney girls, Rebecca and Susanna. Cheney, congratulations, girls. Job well done. And some others maybe in the second service as well. So let's congratulate them this morning. And let's sing. I did not preach last Sunday. I'm preaching the whole message today. So just put your seatbelts on. But let's sing together before we get into the Word of God today. Who's leading us? Holly,
come ahead. This is a song that I learned when I was coming to church here and grew up here. So I thought I'd bring it back and we could just sing this together. You ready? Praise the name of Jesus.
You deserve the praise.
my cross you bore, that I could live in the freedom you died for. Now my life is yours.
And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve
something you really like, and you just keep saying, oh, just one more, just one more, just one. That's how I feel this morning. Oh, just one more. But if we're not careful, I'm never going to preach this sermon. So you may be seated, and let's look to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. The presence of the Lord is so wonderful. Yes. And oh, just as His grace goes on and on, so our worship could go on and on forever, and it will, right? How many of you are planning to be in heaven with us someday? Say amen. And we'll be worshiping the Lord forever. What a day that will be. Matthew chapter 7, I'll work to preach quickly this morning, but we're getting through this today, Lord willing. So let's look to Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 21. These are the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. There are many religious people in this world, people who do religious things and attend religious meetings and speak religious words and sing religious songs. People who even call themselves Christians, but they won't do what Jesus says. Some people have religious experiences, real experiences. They feel the presence of God. They are moved by a church service. They are convicted by a sermon. They are stirred by a song. They cry over an emotional story, but they won't do what Jesus says. That was true in Jesus' day as well. Lots of religious people were coming out to hear what Jesus had to say, but they wouldn't do what Jesus said to do. Thousands crowded into his meetings. They were curious, perhaps, and I believe they were spiritually hungry. Maybe they really needed something from God. They came and they listened. Some of them even called Jesus Lord, but they wouldn't do what Jesus said to do. And Jesus asked them on one occasion, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things that I tell you to do?" And Jesus warned in our scripture today that religiosity without real obedience to God is not enough now, and it certainly won't be enough on Judgment Day. It's not enough just to talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. And so we consider this morning from Matthew chapter 7, the preaching of Jesus, the parable from Jesus, and a very frightening, perhaps for some, prediction from Jesus about Judgment Day. We begin with a look at the preaching of Jesus, because this teaching that we find in the Word of God today is contained in our New Testaments right at the close of what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When we think about the Sermon on the Mount preached by Jesus to great crowds of people who were listening to him, there were disciples there, there were opponents there, there were religious people, there were non-religious people. Great crowds had gathered, and Jesus preached to them. And the Sermon on the Mount is what I would call an everything and the kitchen sink sort of sermon. As Jesus addressed one topic after another, after another, after another, all of those topics extremely relevant to the people of his day, and also extremely relevant to the people of our day. And so as we think about the preaching of Jesus there at the Sermon on the Mount, we come to a couple of conclusions. Number one, there is a will of God. Everybody say, there is a will of God. And we hear it in verse number 21. Jesus refers to the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There is a will of God. And friends, the will of God is settled and secure. It is not shifty and shaky. The will of God does not change over time. God's will, as revealed to us, is a will that endures throughout the generations of human history and time. There is a will of God. And God's will is culturally relevant. It is not culturally relative. And so I say to you this morning that we can't trust religious feelings over the Word of God. Are you here? A lot of people who are religious will say, well, I feel this way, I feel that way, I feel like this is okay, I feel like I should do that. Whatever your feelings are, they do, even if they are religious in nature, they do not measure up to the revealed will of God found in the Bible. In the scriptures, there is a will of God, and thank the Lord, there is a word of God. Jesus refers in verse 24 to everyone who hears these words of mine. And so it ought to be a simple reality for us to grasp as we note that the will of God is communicated by the word of God. Can I have a better amen? The will of God is communicated by the Word of God.
You see, God's will is manifest. It is not mysterious. You don't have to wonder very long in most categories about what the will of God is for your life. Because God's will is published and plain, it is not private and hidden. The Word of God reveals to us the will of God. If we were to apply Jesus' teaching here just to the Sermon on the Mount, let's think for a moment about the subject matters Jesus covered in the Sermon on the Mount. These are the subject matters: humility, passion for God, showing mercy to others, spiritual purity, faithfulness during persecution, godly character, dealing with anger, forgiveness and right relationships, lust and adultery, faithfulness in marriage, keeping your word, loving your enemies, giving, praying, and fasting to be seen by God, faithfulness in prayer, storing up treasures in heaven, refusing to serve money, trusting God and not worrying, putting the kingdom of God first, judging others, faith in prayer, and dealing with false teachers. So many subject matters. Let me just ask you today, are you doing the will of God in all of these categories? You say, well, boy, I'd have to really get myself a legal pad, and I'd have to check down through the process. Yeah. That legal pad is helped greatly by the work of the Holy Spirit. As we read the Word of God and look into the revealed will of God, the Holy Spirit helps us test ourselves to see whether or not we are living in agreement with and abiding by the will and the Word of God, the preaching of Jesus. Then we come to a parable told by Jesus in the gospel here, in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, Jesus closes the whole sermon with this parable. It's a parable about listening and doing, or listening and disregarding. Sounds sort of like the Apostle James, doesn't it? James referred to those who hear the word, but they don't do the word. They are hearers only and not doers. And James said they are deceiving themselves. When they listen but they don't do, they are just deceiving themselves. And Jesus told this story about those who hear the word of God and what their response is. What does the parable look like? Well, the parable tells the story of the framing of two houses. Verse 24, a wise man built his house. And verse 26, a foolish man built his house. Everybody's building houses in this story. The good are building houses, the bad are building houses. Both of them build a house. And what do we know about their building? Well, we know that each man was responsible for construction. You got to build your own house. You've got to make the decision. How many of you understand that God is not going to make the decision for you whether or not you obey him? No. Nor is the church going to make that decision. We could preach 1,000 sermons in the sanctuary, and you go right out of the sanctuary and you make the choice whether or not you're going to obey the word of God or not. It's your choice. And each person was responsible for the construction of his own house in this story. And as a result, each man was responsible for the consequences. If you're the one building the house, then how many of you know if the heating and air conditioning is not right, it's your fault? Isn't that right? If you are the general contractor and the foundation is not right, it's your problem because you laid the foundation. Are you hearing me? Now, many people in our world, in our society, don't like to hear that because this is a generation, and really every generation is a generation where people do not like personal responsibility. They'd rather blame every negative thing in their lives on somebody else. Are you here? And ultimately, they reach back. They reach back a generation before them, or they reach back five generations before them. They reach way back, and some people are still mad at Adam and Eve. Everybody blaming somebody. Blaming the culture, blaming the parents, blaming the grandparents, blaming this, that, and the other, blaming the system, when ultimately Jesus teaches us that we have to take responsibility for building our own lives according to his teaching. It's your responsibility. And so because you're responsible for the construction, you're responsible for the consequences. The framing of the two houses. Consider, secondly, the foundations of the two houses in this parable. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on what? On sand. So we've got two foundations, the rocks, the rock, and the sand. Okay? And people are building on these foundations, and Jesus uses those two foundations as a picture for us, learning and doing. When you listen to what Jesus says and you do it, you're building your foundation on a rock. When you listen and disregard the teachings of Jesus, it's like laying a shifty foundation on the sand. So again now this morning, it's your choice and it's my choice. It's our choice. What kind of life will we build? Will we listen to Jesus and do what Jesus says? Or will we merely be religious and listen to what Jesus says and then do our own thing? There are people in this room right now. You know the revealed will of God from his word, but you have made up your mind not to obey it. You've made that decision. You know what God says about this, that, or the other. Others have mentioned it to you. You've seen it in the scripture. Perhaps somebody close to you has spoken that into your life, or you've heard it in a sermon. You know what God says, but you would rather trust your feelings than to trust the clear revelation of God's word. And without even knowing it, you're coming to church, you're singing, you're worshiping, you're enjoying religious experiences. Without even knowing it, you are building your life on a shifty foundation. And ultimately, the foundation will give way. You say, well, I'm going to obey the Lord someday. Bah humbug is what I have to say to that. I'm going to obey the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to get right with God and obey the will of God for my life. I don't believe it. I hope for it. But I don't really believe that. Because the truth is, if you're unwilling today to obey the word of God with the presence of the Lord all around you, with the experience of the closeness of God, with the word of God right in your face, with all of these things, I highly doubt if there will come a day when you will change your mind. I hope you will change your mind, but I have no real confidence. If you have lived in the midst of spiritual teaching and scriptural teaching for years and you refuse to obey the word of God, I have slim hopes that you will change your mind before judgment day. You say, oh my goodness, Pastor Lowell. That's a strong statement. That is reality. You get yourself in the groove and you are likely to die in that groove. So there are two foundations. You choose what foundation to lay. You're going to build your house on the word of God, or you're going to build your house on your own will. The third part of this parable involves the flooding of the two houses. Consider that, verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. That's verse 25. That's the first house. Then we read about the second house in verse 27. Sounds familiar. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. The reality is the storms of life came against both houses. And how many of you have been a Christian long enough to know that you, as a Christian believer, even when you follow the Lord, there are storms raging around you in this world? Yeah, we know that. The storms of life came against both houses, and the storms of life come against believers' houses as well. Every life will be tested and tried by the stuff of life. In fact, the scripture teaches us that many of these testings in life are working to determine whether our faith and our devotion and our loyalty to God are real. Are you here? Because anybody can sing when they're happy. It takes somebody who has a relationship with the Lord to sing and worship God when things are going wrong. And so the storms are coming. And the testing often reveals true character. I heard years ago this little statement, I think it's true. Life is like a tea bag. What's inside comes out in hot water. Consider then the final fate of the two houses in this parable. Verse 25 again, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Everybody say it did not fall. That's the final conclusion. It did not fall. Lots of troubles, but the house stood strong. Huh? Mighty winds blowing against it, but the house continued to stand. How many of you want your life to continue to stand no matter what comes in this old wicked world? Say amen. Well, here it is. Jesus said, the one who built on the rock, the house continued to stand. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Verse 27, for the second house, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Why? Because it had a shifty, shaky foundation. It was not built upon a rock. It was built upon the sand, and the house fell with a great crash. So we note the secure folks in the one house, and we note the sad fall of the other house. Jesus is teaching us something here. He's teaching us that if we will listen to his words and obey him, that ultimately our lives are going to stand through all of the troubles of this world until ultimately we stand before God and we stand there whole and secure and strong in our relationship with Jesus, having lived for him. But that others who have not listened to who maybe have listened but have not done what Jesus taught them to do, their lives are going to fall apart. And how many of you know that some old houses fall apart after 20 years, some after 30, some after 40, some after 80? How many of you know houses fall apart at different rates of decomposure? And the reality is, some of you are thinking right now, perhaps, well, you know, yes, I know that maybe I'm not living quite right according to the word of God. I'm gonna change that before too long, yeah. And eventually, I'm going to be strong. You know, friends, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. And I just say this to you this morning. If you're living in some plain, rebellious disagreement with God, and living in sin and refusing to do anything about it, though you know better, if that is you, then I warn you that sometimes our lives end without notice. And we have to stand before God. This is about earthly consequences, but this is also about eternal conclusions. What's going to happen in the end? If you continue to live by the word of God, what's your life going to be like here? Well, you may have troubles, but you're going to live a good life in the blessing and the help of the Lord. Okay? I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire, but the reality is God will be with you. And you know what? The reality is if we're living to please God and the Lord's presence and blessing is with us, then whatever this world has to throw at us, we're going to make it. I said, we're going to make it. And we're going to be glad that we live for the Lord. We're going to make, this is about eternal conclusions as well. Where am I going to end up in eternity? Well, Jesus has a prediction to make about that. We hear the preaching of Jesus, the parable from Jesus. And finally this morning, we consider the prediction of Jesus. And this is a very troubling prediction. Jesus pronounced this prediction right before he told the parable of the two houses. And here is the prediction of Jesus. Is everybody awake and with me? Say amen. Amen. Here's the prediction of Jesus. Judgment is looming. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there's coming a day when things will be sorted out. Listen, some will enter the kingdom of heaven, others will not. And a judgment will take place based on whether we followed Jesus or not and did what Jesus said. This is such a simple word from Jesus. It's simply a word about whether or not we just do what Jesus says to do. You say, well, I thought salvation was by faith and not by doing. Well, salvation is by faith through grace, but if you have real faith in the Lord, it'll change the way you respond to God's directives in your life. Could I have a better amen? Yeah, if you have real faith, you see, faith without works is dead. Living faith causes you to follow Jesus and obey him. Huh? You say, oh, believing in Jesus causes me to obey him? Yes. And beyond that, listen to this wake-up call. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command. So some of you, you know, some people just go along all the time, oh, I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus. But Jesus was very clear in both of those categories. If you really believe Jesus, you will obey him. And if you really love Jesus, you will obey him. Simple, isn't it? So Jesus says judgment is looming. And the whole while jabbering jaws are lord-lording. Now if that's not a piece of artwork and alliteration, I don't know what is. Jabbering jaws are lord-lording. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Jesus said on judgment day, people will cite their religious credentials. And they will cite their religious activities. Are you hearing this? Some of them said we were prophesying. Some said we were driving out demons. Others said we were performing miracles in the name of Jesus. And here they are, and they're saying, Lord, Lord. Well, what do we know from this teaching of Jesus? Well, first, we know that it looks like many people will be surprised on Judgment Day. Now, I'm trying to, you know, a real preacher of the gospel and a real preacher of the word of God is trying to warn people so there are no surprises. But it looks like here people will be surprised on Judgment Day. They think they're getting into heaven, but they're not. They're surprised. And not only are they surprised, but they are speaking up trying to defend themselves. Isn't that right? Look at it. Lord, Lord, this is on judgment day. Lord, Lord, did we not do all these religious things? They're trying to plead their case, defend their cause. They're trying to defend their religiosity when they wouldn't obey Jesus. That's what they're doing. And they're calling him Lord, Lord. I'll never forget Dr. Lauren Triplett, who was the leader of Assemblies of God missions for many years. I loved Brother Triplett. First of all, he was the perfect height to be a man of God. He was right about this tall. Brother Triplett was a great preacher of the Word of God as well. I'll never forget having him here one time, maybe 28, 29 years ago, while he was leading the Assemblies of God World Missions, and Brother Triplett preached a message for us. I'll never forget what he said. He made this statement. The term, the expression, "No, Lord," is an oxymoron. Some of you, maybe you don't know what an oxymoron is. All that means is if you say no to the Lord, you're a moron. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. No, no. Forgive me. Forgive me. It might be what it means, but forgive me. We won't go there. An oxymoron is an expression that does not make sense to two words that do not make sense together. Brother Triplett said, "No, Lord," is an oxymoron. If you're going to say no, then for goodness sake, don't call him Lord. If you're going to call Jesus Lord, the only proper answer is yes. Jesus said many are going to be crying out, "Lord, Lord." On judgment day, they will speak up to defend themselves. James 1 warns us that some people consider themselves religious, but their religion is faulty. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 that many people have a form of religion that has no spiritual power. And we couldn't give a nickel for that. Are you hearing me? Religious activities, Jesus teaches us, are never enough for the Lord. He desires and demands love and obedience. And number three, true followers of Jesus don't mess around. They actually follow Jesus and obey him. No? Huh? How many here today you consider yourself a real Christian? Lift your hand. Come on. You're a real deal Christian. How many of you want to be that? Lift your hand. I want to be a real deal Christian. That's you. I want to tell you, a real deal Christian falls into line in obedience with Jesus. Even in areas where it's hard to do that. Even in places where it would really cost you to do that. Even in areas where you would not have as much fun if you obeyed the Lord. You know, the world's fun cannot measure up to the real joy of the Lord. I can tell you that right now. And so the reality is, true followers of Jesus obey him. They don't just jabber with their jaws and say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lordy, Lordy." No, they obey. Judgment is looming. Jabbering jaws are Lord, Lording. And thirdly, Jesus is a large and literal Lord. Verse 23 says, "Then I will tell them plainly." Here they are saying, "Lord, Lord, did we not do all these religious things?" And Jesus said, "I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Get away from me." The same Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you." The same Jesus who said, "Come to me," will one day say to some, "Get away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you." Why? they wouldn't come to Jesus and lay their lives before him in faith and obedience. And Jesus says, on that day, I'll just have to say, I never knew you. Get away from me. So the truth is, on Judgment Day, some will be entering the kingdom of heaven while some will be excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody is getting in the door. Not everybody's getting in the door. Some are going to be left out. But it'll be their own fault. They heard, but they chose to disregard. They decided to trust their own feelings, what they thought rather than what God thought. Have I made the message clear this morning? And it'll be, Jesus says, they built the house. They chose the foundation. They put it all up. I told them. I always find it amazing, and I've been reminded of this again recently in the news. I've always find it amazing. You have some terrible, sinful tragedy happen that's just steeped in and surrounded by and soaked in sin. You have somebody who meets a terrible end or whatever in the midst of some wicked thing. And people say, well, why'd the Lord take him? I always stand amazed at how people can blame the Lord for consequences when the Lord told people ahead of time, don't do that. Are you here? The Lord said loud and clear in his word, don't do that. They did it anyway, and they fell into destruction. And then they blame God for the destruction. How many of you know that is absolute nonsense? That's nonsense. You can't blame God when God told you up front, don't do that. You go ahead and do it. And then the consequences come into play. And you think, well, why did God allow that or do that? God told you up front. No. And in the end, some will be excluded from the kingdom of heaven when they heard all kinds of teaching and preaching. They had a Bible that sat on their shelf. Some of them even read the Bible. Some of them got into Bible studies, but they didn't do what the Bible said. Some of them went to prayer meetings, but they didn't do what Jesus said to do. They didn't obey the Lord. They were religious. But their religiosity was not enough. The Lord wanted obedience. And so what is our response to all this? Well, number one, we must increase our learning curve. Ephesians 5:9 says, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. You folks here in the sanctuary this morning, you have no excuse. And neither do I, frankly. We have no excuse. We are inundated with the teaching of the Word of God. Are you here? We are inundated with it. We have preaching services. We have Sunday school. We have Bible studies. We have this, that, and the other. We are inundated with the Word of God. We have no excuse. And even some who might say, well, I didn't really know such and such. That's a bunch of baloney. You knew. Well, I didn't know that I shouldn't live with that person that I wasn't married to. Right. Right, you didn't know. No, you've been attending First Assembly. You know better than all that stuff. You say, what's gotten into him this morning? Well, then, it's just the scriptures this morning. This was intended to be a follow-up from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But the Lord knew we needed just a rest break last Sunday between the two sermons. The bottom line is we're called to find out what pleases the Lord. If you don't know whether, if you're thinking about some situation or circumstances, I'm not sure what would please the Lord in this situation. Then we have abundant access to the Word of God. We have computers. There are teachers, people who can point you to the Word of God. If you don't know, you say, I don't know, there's this cultural issue. I'm not sure what the Bible has to say about this. Well, you can find out very easily. And it's your responsibility to find out what pleases the Lord. Let's increase. That point there, number one, Bill, Hannah, is not quite right. It needs to be changed for the next time. On the outline, number one is increase your learning curve. And the second point, intensify. That's not right either. They didn't get the last two points on here. Look at your paper, everybody. When all else fails, look at the paper. Number one, increase your learning curve. Number two, intensify your lifestyle compliance. The verse is right though, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Huh? And when you do what it says, then you can honestly call Jesus Lord, Lord. And it'll be a privilege to do so. Would you say amen?